sitting in for George Norrie tonight, and a pleasure it is to be with you. Well, I told you, you know, after kick the can and double down and blah, 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 and fiscal cliff, we have a new catchphrase, and it's called throw down. So if you want to throw down and get in on the conversation with me and Craig Hewlett tonight, that would be welcome. If you want to come on and make a point for, against, pro, con, it doesn't make any difference just as long as you participate in the program. You got the number, so let's throw down when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, and we're back with Craig Hewlett. Say, do you think the stridency, you know, the stridency that comes from one side of the ideological spectrum, you know, I'm trying to try and stay neutral as much as that's possible. And it's not really, but I'm trying. The stridency seems to be quite effective. The stridency from the pro-Second Amendment sector, that stridency is met with, these people are crazy. You know, and I'm speaking, of course, of that throwdown between, you know, Piers Morgan and Alex Jones, and then talking about guns, and Ted Nugent and Piers Morgan. And, you know, it comes to my mind that thing in Amadeus about you are passionate, Mozart, but you do not persuade. Do you agree or not?
I think the NRA has long, long failed in protecting gun rights because of their approach. I don't think their approach has ever been done as well as the anti-groups have done, because the anti-groups, they plea, I don't know if this is going to sound silly, they make a better argument because they lie better. We try to make an argument in support of Second Amendment rights by sticking to the simple, plain facts of the matter, but they lie, and because they lie, it's kind of like the Hitler syndrome. The bigger the lie, the better the lie, the more it is believed. You know, not everybody is rational or logical or have the simple ability to critical thinking. And the progressive left practices an attack against critical thinking, and it's very confusing to the average people. Let me give you, in fact, the best example I've seen of late is, you know who Slate.com is?
Yes.
Okay, that's a partnership between the Washington Post, and some of the writers are from the New York Times. And Slate.com recently published an article that says, how many people have been killed by guns since Newtown? Question mark. And it says, Slate partners with gun deaths at gundeaths.com, an interactive crowdsourced tweet. And the article's written by Chris Kirk and Dan Kios. And they've got a cute little map that you can click on, Tacoma, Washington. It'll show you that there were 3 gun deaths since that incident in Newtown. There have been 3 gun deaths. And then they cover it this part of the country. And there's like 450 icons to click on. If you click on one of them, it says the name of the person that's dead and how old they were, if they were male and female. And then there's a little area, that really tiny area that you can click on that says more information. Well, I'm telling you, almost nobody will look at this and click on those icons and click on more information. They're just going to look at it, and because it's a lie of omission, it's a clever lie, you're going to look at it and you're going to go, wow, 18 people a day get killed in America with guns after this horrible massacre in Connecticut. Well, my name is Craig Hewlett. Okay, and I'll admit, I'm an uncomfortable, odd, cracked being, okay? I just am. I make a point of clicking on every single one of those icons. I've got it permanently up on my website, and I look at every single incident they're citing where these are gun deaths. Half of them are police officers having to kill a criminal in the act of a crime, somebody on parole that they're trying to rearrest, somebody in that has come towards them with a gun in suicide by cop. Suicides are listed, and some of the incidents are complete lies. That's how they work. That's how the progressive left is successful. They have no problem doing what the Moonies have as part of their doctrine. One of the Moonies' doctrine I always found fascinating was
the Moonies. That's the old Unification Church. Is that what you're talking about, the Unification Church from the old days?
One of their doctrines is a doctrine called divine deceit. That as long as they're deceiving an infidel who is not a Moonie, then you're not committing any kind of a sin by lying.
Okay.
Well, the progressive left practices it, and they always have. They have no problem lying to achieve their objectives. Almost everything they state as fact or documentation about gun rights, gun deaths, murders, is a lie. I mean, every single time you can count on it. But they also count on nobody's going to sit there and click on 450 icons in their map that charts all the incidents where people have been killed by guns, except me. I am doing it, and I'm going to publish a PDF file proving that these two journalists, Chris Kirk and Dan Coyes, both from the New York Times and the Washington Post, are liars.
And when can we expect to see this?
Well, it's going to take me probably another couple of weeks, because like I said, it's 450 incidents that I have to document one right after the other. So I'm doing it in my part time, but I will have it up on my website. But they also do things like, for instance, they say down further, when you go look down further the website, they'll ask a question that's supposed to be rhetorical. Has anybody ever stopped a mass murderer, a mass killer with a gun? Question mark. Now everybody's going to read that and go, wow, I guess not, man. No, wrong. Who do you think stopped that crazy psychiatrist at Fort Hood?
Right.
It was a cop with a gun.
Yeah, it was a 5'2" female whose nickname is Mighty Mouse, and she went in there and assessed the situation in about 1 second and engaged him and shot the hell out of him.
You know, there's over 2 million incidents a year in this country where somebody has brandished a firearm and prevented a crime.
Well, I understand it was a licensed citizen carrying a firearm that went into the Portland, Oregon mall and confronted that guy I think he got two people, and this person threw down on him, and they fled and off themselves.
It happened also in Utah. It happened in Denver.
It happened in San Antonio.
It actually happens quite often. But see,
Craig, did you hear about the one in San Antonio with the off-duty female police officer? This guy had killed his girlfriend, was going to go and off a bunch of people, and she took care of him, but it did not make the news.
It doesn't make the news when a citizen defends himself against a criminal because nobody's dead. There's no blood. Nobody's really interested in it. So that's why the progressive left can lie and simply state nobody can document where a gun owner, a simple gun owner, has ever intervened and stopped a mass potential killer, when, of course, it's a completely untrue statement. So what we're up against is a group of people that are ideological, that are driven by a hatred of a specific category of people in this country that makes up the majority of gun owners. And I think it's high time that category of people wake up to it. And maybe decide to quit dancing with these people the way we've been dancing.
I don't know. I'm looking at the emails, and it's like it's tonight. It's split. Of course, you know, this is a lot of listening tonight. Coastland is awake, and they're into it. The problem is that, as an old Indian friend of mine told me one time, he was shocked at the lack of reading comprehension of his followers of his blog. And it's amazing, really. You think you heard, but you didn't. You think you understand, but you don't. And so the moment, it's funny. We seem to be suffering from I'm going to call it the microcaustic fixation complex. This is where you pick out one word that has some sort of a negative connotation to you out of a complete sentence, fixate on that, and completely misinterpret what was said.
Oh, boy, I sure know what that is. I get it all the time. I guess I'm getting it now, huh?
Oh, nine ways from sideways, Padre. Big time. Me too.
All I can do is apologize.
Oh, I'm as insane.
It happens to me a lot.
I don't mean to dude you, Craig, but dude, no, they're beating me as much as they're beating you, and then the other 50% are like, right on, bring it. Somebody's got to tell somebody. But it amazes me. It's like, I'm not calling anyone who disagrees with us a bully. This is an analogy. I repeat, this is an analogy. if you're confronting a schoolyard bully, you can't talk this bully out of wanting to, you know, beat you up, man, beat you up. You can say, look, you're a nice guy. I like everything. Everything's cool. Why can't we just get along? Oh, that just makes him worse. So there's a mentality out there that just resists. It doesn't, there's no rationale behind the resistance. It's like, you are a racist. You are a homophobe. It's like, look. Let's just look at the facts. The statistics are there. I know what Mark Twain said about statistics, but it's all we have. We have the numbers, and you can manipulate statistics. That's what Mark Twain meant. But numbers are numbers, just like that website that you mentioned. What is that website again, where with the tiny more information box?
Slate.com.
Slate?
Slate.com.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, and they're the ones that posted how many people have been killed by guns since Newtown.
All right, let's say that, let's reverse the nightmare scenario submitted to you a while ago. Let's say there is no default. Let's say everybody's money works just fine. Let's say that this gun ban goes through, and let's say that, let's just say that people were pretty docile about it. Maybe the idea was to cause a big run on firearms so that all the ones in stock would be purchased, and now throw some legislation against the people who manufacture them, restrict them, and so forth and so on. What is the next step after disarmament in your crystal ball?
Well, then there's nothing in the way of anything in any other of the sections of the Constitution or the Bill of Rights that we won't lose. If you lose the Second Amendment, everything goes out the window.
What do you think will be next? We our privacy, I mentioned that earlier. I wanted to talk with you about it a little bit, but
yeah,
privacy's already gone.
Wall Street Journal just reported that the National Counterterrorism Center just released an entire database that actually makes it very clear that they're going after what they refer to as predictive pattern matching and linguistic analysis, whereby
pre-crime.
they're monitoring every email, every conversation, every text message, and now they're looking for phrases. Let me give you an actual phrase here. So some of the phrases are like, saying during a text message or an email, nobody will find out, or call my mobile, or don't leave a trail. All these things get you noticed now. And they're actual thinking that they use these phrases to look at you as a potential criminal, that these phrases indicate that you're up to something. When a government is that paranoid over their own citizenry, then that government is capable of anything. You've already mentioned we've got a president that signs off on what are called kill orders. There's never been anything in our history that a president could use called a kill order against an American citizen.
Kind of gets to the point right away, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no sophistry there. It's pretty clear.
You know,
I'll repeat. He's doing these things knowing full well they're unconstitutional. He was a constitutional lawyer.
Good
he knows
grief.
What he's doing.
You know, going back to what you were saying about basically every keystroke, every little phrase, the Utah Data Center, formerly known as the Community Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative Data Center, is a data storage facility being built for the United States Security, National Security Agency Intelligence Bureau, designed to be a primary storage resource capable of storing data on the scale of yottabytes. It is alleged to capture, quote, all forms of communication, including the complete contents of private emails, cell phone calls, and internet searches, as well as all sorts of personal data trails, parking receipts, travel itineraries, bookstore purchases, and other digital pocket litter though its precise purpose is secret. The U.S. Senate has voted to approve the FAA Sunsets Extension Act of 2012, which will authorize warrantless surveillance of Americans for counterterrorism purposes for another 5 years. I mean, when does it become undeniable to the majority of the people, and when do they move off dead center and get something?
Well, I think what you've done, though, is you've just hinted at something several times in our conversation, John.
Trying to be subtle.
That we have to admit to. And nobody wants to hear what I'm about to say. You'll get some emails with this one.
Okay.
The longest study of literacy in America, it was a 10-year study. It was completed about 10 years ago. It was the longest study of illiteracy in America. It was done by the Labor Department. They determined that approximately 70% of the adults in America are illiterate. 50% of them, 50% of that 70% are functionally illiterate. They cannot read a menu, a traffic sign. They can't write a coherent letter. Now, on top of that, 90 million Americans are permanently unemployed. 90 million are permanently unemployed, not looking for work at all.
And why are they not working? I mean, why are they not looking for work?
There's no jobs, or, you know, they're too tired.
Well, I thought there might be an embellishment, like they've given up, or they're unable to work.
Giving up's a good one. Giving up's a good one. But I think when you realize how many of them are illiterate, that, you know, this high-tech, fast-moving, money-driven consumer society may just be a little too fast for some of them. I don't pretend to know the inner workings of the masses and the mind psyche of the mass people, but these things, these factual data things that we're talking about, are true. A country cannot survive with 90% of its workforce, 90 million workers, I mean, never working again, and the rest of us supporting them. Social Security and your retirement and your pension fund will not be available. It will have to be nationalized by the federal government. Your permanent, your pension, if you're with UPS or Weyerhaeuser, it's history. It's a matter of time that these are nationalized under the federal government.
And it'll go the same way that Social Security is going.
Exactly. It'll be a Ponzi scheme. It'll be horrendous. Your living standard under the Social Security system, even after they nationalize the profitable pension plans and the IRAs, the 401ks, your living standard will be absolutely horrendous. But nobody's getting the point here. Our government isn't working in our interest. The government of the United States no longer works in the interest of the citizens of the United States. They work in the interest of an empire, a regime, a money, corporate regime. That's who they're taking care of. They're doing great.
Comment a little bit, Craig, on the fact that even the people who support this activity in our government are not safe from it. Just because you wore the Nazi uniform did not make you safe.
That's true.
So to speak.
That's true, because, but then, what do you mean? What do you mean by safe?
Well, what I mean is when you, here's a rudimentary example, you're at the airport and all of a sudden the command is given freeze. That means everybody freeze. That doesn't mean just the right wingers or the left wingers, the conservatives or the liberal freeze. It means everybody freeze.
Well, the oligarchs don't get on the same airplanes as we do. They don't live
I'm talking about the citizens. I'm talking about the citizens who think, at least, that they support the oligarchy's views.
Oh, those people. I misunderstood you. I'm sorry. Those people?
Yes.
They're going to be in for a real rude awakening.
Well, what I'm getting at, Craig, is it's like we're talking about these 90 million people who are permanently unemployed. Okay. But you know what? They're still citizens. They're still entitled to equal protection under the law. They're not going to get it either.
No, they're not.
But they think they will.
I don't think many of them think there's a problem, and they won't realize it until one day, like Taylor Caldwell said in her novels, until they look up from burying their children and they say to some onlooker, "Why didn't somebody tell me what was going on?"
Read The Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn. They'll figure it out. All right. We'll take your calls in the last segment of our final hour of two with Craig B. Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM. Mothership sounds so much better than Mother Train, but, you know, you could head out into deep space on your space train or your mothership. And you could definitely be on the train or the mothership to nowhere because, well, space is infinite, as is the mind. I don't know about you, but I try not to reject information out of hand because I don't like the sound of it. Sometimes when you hear something that really is almost like a little light slap in the face, you don't like it. But if you listen to it, in a minute you might find yourself going, well, yeah, I can sort of see that part of it. And that's what we like to do, the long conversation. Now, everybody who's on hold, there's a bunch of you. Hold your position because you're going to get a chance to talk with Craig D. Hewlett when we come right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Wells in for Nori. All right, Craig, I want to ask you about something. It's about John Noveski and some of the other people. Just let me just toss this out here, a bunch of it. This is the shotgun out the back door technique for you, and I know you can handle it. Joe Sirachman, American Spirit Arms, had his website sales go about 500%. And so Bank of America decided to just hold his funds. And when he finally went through, this is all over the net. You can find it.
Yep,
it's a real deal. I'm sure you've seen it. They said, well, we don't think you should be selling guns and parts over the internet. Question number one, when did a bank begin to tell me or anybody else what we can sell? We had the same experience selling the radiation detectors on caravantomidnight.com. It's like, well, we want to make sure, and what are these links to, and what is this? What kind of website is this? Like, well, who the hell are you? You handle the money. Get off my phone. And he did. I was ugly, and I got my way, and they put the money back in, but they froze the account for a little while. Let's see. Let's talk about John McMillan. A Bank of America told him, we just don't want your business. And now, John Noveski, one of the most celebrated rifle manufacturers in America, 36 years old, I believe, was just found dead. I mean, he had a car crash. But oddly enough, he had just posted he had just posted some information on the correlation between these mass shooters and these, what is it, SSRI drugs, these psychiatric drugs. And then this producer for FSB Russia, this guy talks in phony Russian accent, goes out and makes videos. His producer winds up just on the side of the road, still got a sidearm on him and everything, except he's got a hole in his head and nothing was taken. So Sandy Hook doesn't look right to me. What happened to the other guy that the cops had on the ground? Aurora doesn't look good. People have reported smoke or tear gas grenades coming from one side of the theater while the shots are coming from the opposite side of the theater. So, is it your opinion these are false flag operations a la Fast and Furious, which turned into a big bust and nobody's been really held to account for it?
Well, I know Fast and Furious was. There's no question about it. And long before anybody had any details about it, I was saying that regardless of how it looks, Fast and Furious was always destined to be used by Obama to institute gun control. It was orchestrated. They knew that the guns would be used, and as soon as that happened, they would be able to say, look, this gun was traced to an American gun dealer. We've got to stop gun sales. It was orchestrated. And the only reason we heard about it was an ATF agent that's a whistleblower, whom I happen to know something about, because I have worked with federal law enforcement. So, you know, were the other ones false flags? I'm going to play the innocent. Absolutely not. All the government has to do is wait for an incident like the 9/11 attacks and then act on it to successfully achieve objectives that they could not otherwise achieve without the incident happening.
Now,
you
now, listen,
take that any way you want, the way I just said it.
But in any case,
the government is using the incidents falsely to achieve objectives that they could not otherwise achieve.
You know, could you imagine what kind of a morning talk show we could do, you know, wake up and get a load of this? I told you a while ago that we're getting tons of emails. There have been about 500 of them coming here in about the last, I don't know, 25 minutes or so. It's really strange, but I got to read this one to you. It says, well, I cannot turn you off, but be apprised that I, a progressive liberal to the max on most issues, am firmly against any gun control, and old and female as I may be, I will take up arms myself if it horribly becomes necessary. That's what I'm talking about. Ideals are fine, but eventually you may have to roll up your sleeves and get dirty together. And it's like, we'll argue over the ideological parts later. But in the meantime, let's make sure that we don't all hang separately because we did not hang together.
That's the biggest fear I have. I've never wanted to address the gun issue. I've been doing this 35 years, John. I have always discussed geopolitical, domestic affairs, things that I call refer to as the things that matter. And I stayed away from gun rights, abortion, gay marriage. But now it's time that I take all my skill sets. I'm going to go have lunch with the county sheriff next week in Grays Harbor County. I've already went to his office once. And I'm recommending, if you've got any push, any pull, go talk to your local sheriff. Get some people together, both Republicans, Democrats, liberal, conservative, black, white, green, pink. I don't care. But you need to talk to that man, because this is going to get to the point where only that county sheriff can stand between the forces coming to collect guns and you, if you've got guns. Only he has the legitimate authority to step in and tell the federal government, including the United States Army, get the hell out of my county. And he could deputize 30, 40, 100,000 able-bodied men that make up the legitimate militia and make them a posse. No matter
exactly
how many
right.
troops they send to Wyoming, send 100,000 troops. All those counties together can field 500,000.
In about 30 minutes.
You got it. That's exactly what the Founding Fathers understood, and that's why we have county sheriffs and a Second Amendment. And that's why they specifically said the militias, before they're organized, before they're called up, are the able-bodied men carrying the very arms that a standing army of our day would carry. In other words, 1776, they wanted the people of the country armed with muskets. They wanted you in 1865 armed with a Henry rifle and a cartridge pistol.
Gotcha.
Now it's 2001. The Founding Fathers would say, and Thomas Paine would be the first one, every American able-bodied male should have an M16 in their closet.
And that gun's 50 years old. Tell you what, Craig, we got to take a couple of calls. I promised them that we would, and so we will. Let's do it. Dayton, Ohio. That's where is that? That's east of the Rockies. Oh, yeah, dyslexia of the map for a second. Philip, come on the bridge and make it as quick as you can to get your thought out.
Yeah, guys, you guys remember Vicky Soto, the teacher from Sandy Hook who sacrificed herself to protect
yes.
students?
Yes.
Well, apparently, I've been reading reports online, and also you can see it on YouTube, that there was a memorial page set up for her on Facebook December 10th, 4 days before the shootings occurred. Okay.
Oh, come on, man. Are you sure about this?
Yeah, like 2 hours ago, I read it.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Thanks,
go to my website. I have an email address. I have a website, craigbhewlett.com. You send that to me, and I'll have it analyzed, and I'll find out whether or not that's true or somebody posted it and doctored it.
Okay. You heard what the man said. Craig B. Hewlett, HULET.com. Craig B. Hewlett. Okay, excellent. Let's go to Greg. Fort Worth, Texas, where the West begins, the Panther City. No kidding.
Hey, thanks, John.
Hey, good to talk to you. What's on your mind?
Hey, buddy, I just want to tell you, I want to thank you for keeping me company tonight. I'm in a lot of pain. I've got cancer, so I wanted to talk about Mr. Bloomberg to Mr. Hewlett. He wants to get rid of our guns in New York. Of course, I live in Texas, so it really doesn't matter. But while I saw what he said on Drudge Report today, really concerned me quite a bit that they don't want to give pain pills to people in hospitals anymore. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Is this the Obama new health care thing? And secondly, does he just want to get rid of guns for everybody or just for people in New York?
Bloomberg only has the power to try to get rid of guns of people
Thanks,
in New
Greg.
York. It's already almost impossible to have a gun in New York City. But no, he's proposing himself to lobby the New York legislature, the governor. He would like to see the New York ban on guns statewide, and so would a lot of other governors. That's why I'm recommending, and I think I'm begging, that go and talk to your county sheriff. Get together a group of you, ask to go in and see him and talk to him and say, look, you're the only man that stands between the Second Amendment being stripped from our Constitution and us, the people that put you in office as county sheriff, are you going to help us if this illegal law, and it's called illegal law in jurisprudence, there's a such thing, it's called an illegal law. And the and jurisprudence says an illegal law is therefore unenforceable and is no law at all.
Excellent. All right, let's talk.
Sheriff, and say, what are you going to do if this goes down?
Okay. Well, you heard the man. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? Renee, Colorado, right in the Rockies. Come on the bridge here. What's on your mind?
I'm going to try to keep this brief, but I wanted to relay an event that actually happened to me. No kidding. That sounds bizarre. But
roll.
Basically, I was pulled over by the Colorado State Patrol 2 years ago. I had money in my car. I had a good reason for having the cash, and they took it. And I hired a lawyer, and we sent, you know, income tax returns and proof as to how I had earned the money and paid taxes on it. It's been 2 years. They won't give me my money back. And my lawyer told me there's no statute of limitations. They can do anything they damn well please, and they don't have to give me my money back. I'm not a they said that it was drug money. I have no arrest record. There were no drugs in my car.
If you don't mind my asking, it's none of my business. I'm just interested. How much money was it?
It was over $20,000. And I had taken that money out of my savings account because I was going through a divorce at the time, and my now ex-husband was being sued.
Okay, and so it was your money. It wasn't ill-gotten gains. It was your money.
No. Absolutely. And I proved, with my income tax returns, and, you know, I'm sure they investigated me, but I was, in corporate America, you know. I'm a white female in my late 40s.
Gotcha.
This is not the first time I've heard about this, John. It's $10,000. That's the cap. If they find $10,000 or more, they have the right to seize it and demand that you prove that you didn't steal the money. This wasn't money derived from illicit activity or drugs. You have to prove it. And it's an outrage. It's another one of those things that the progressive left will scream, violation of civil liberties. And while that woman's civil liberties were violated, what's the progressive left going to say to her now also? Turn in your guns.
Let's go to Peru, Indiana. John, wild card line number 4. John, are you there?
Yes. Mr. Wells, Mr. Hewlett, good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Wells, I sent you an email. I have a White House petition going right now. It brings charges against any politicians or officials who bring gun control to the Congress or the Senate. Under Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, under weakening the United States to invasion, we're under an invasion right now from Mexican drug cartels.
It's pretty rough on the border still, last time I checked.
Yes, it is. I was in the military, and I swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And right now, I'm seeing the entire government as being an enemy domestic. I'm trying to take legal steps, first the petition, then the lawsuit, trying to protect the Constitution itself.
How can we help further an initiative like this, Craig, or can we?
Well, there's only one way to do it, and you're going to have to use every advantage the internet gives you, because I assure you the White House will pretend that thing never arrived, even if they did recognize it. They'll throw it in the trash for 2 years. They'll throw up every barricade they possibly can. That's not going to be listened to, unfortunately, in my opinion. But, again, I'll go back again. We're now at a point where, look, everything Obama has done in the last 4 years has violated some significant area of the U.S. Constitution. Is a blanket throwing the Constitution out the window. And the very idea that he thinks he has the executive power, like a monarch, to just write an executive order and ban guns, and then ban guns in an ex post facto manner, meaning the guns that you own today that were legally purchased, he can say are illegally to own tomorrow. Both of these violate the Constitution.
That's despotic behavior.
That is the worst kind of despot. But the founding fathers intended for us to be armed with the exact weapons that a standing army would be equipped with to protect ourselves from tyranny. The same guns a standing army would use to protect us from that army at that time. That means you should be able to have a Bushmaster M4 or one of my custom-made 1911s or Glocks.
What do you mean you're...
FFL.
Well, wait a second. Do you build custom pistols?
Yes, I do, sir.
Why don't I know this?
I have a training program for 30 of my clients. I build custom Glocks, 1911s, M16s, 870 12-gauge. Yes.
Okay. I'll be ringing you at the house. We're going to talk further off the air. You know, I wanted to point something out as long as we're talking about this, and I'll make it quick because we're down just 2 or 3 minutes. I always enjoy talking to you, Craig. It's always good. People are talking about these high-capacity magazines. If you look at any of these publications where there are actually photographs of police encounters with criminals, you will find things like this one Caucasian male, you know, late 20s, early 30s, all jacked up on PCP and something else. This person was hit 32 times with a 9mm, and he kept coming and shooting. Some people who would wind up, if they were convicted after capture, they would wind up in an institution for the criminally insane, are so jacked up on either an organic mental condition exacerbated by psychotropic drugs, or they're drunk, or they're doing street drugs or something, they don't even know they're shot. If you are the reason that the Browning High Power P-35 came out by John Browning holding 13 rounds, the reason it was called a high power, it was for people who might be confronted with multiple assailants.
Exactly. You know, the concern that somebody can go into a school and have 30 rounds in a clip, that's a valid argument, and there's nothing in the world that's going to stop somebody like that from finding that gun in that clip eventually to do so. But the real problem is home invasions very often occur with up to 5-6 individuals. So if you've got a pea shooter with 4 rounds in it, you're not going to get very far against defending your family. Can I recommend something? This is completely out of line, John. I really like your audience, and I really like arguing and talking and discussing things with you. I really do. You know what we should do? This is just between me and you, and we don't have to do it. But I wouldn't mind sitting down and spending 2 hours doing nothing but take questions from your audience.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Just take questions.
On screen, just let it rip. If they want to criticize, let them.
You got it.
Oh, well, you're on, man.
We're at a place right now where the country has never been more at risk. And frankly, I don't think I'm going to be around that much longer.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I have to fight tonight. But this is happening so fast, and it's so critical in mass at this point. I've never seen anything like this in 35 years of this kind of work.
Hey, listen, I'll call you either tomorrow or on Saturday. Let's get something set up. Let's do it. A Naked Lines with me and Craig B. Hewlett. It'd be a pleasure, and thank you so much for being here tonight, Craig. You're a wealth of information. We need you. Thanks. All right. You heard the man. CraigBHewlett.com. We'll be back now with something completely different. Transform Yourself, The Science of Spectacular Living with Dr. Bob Wright. We'll just power down, relax, and find out what we can do when we clear the fear.